I'm so tired.
So we just got done recording last episode, and it is currently 11:15 at night, and me and Psychos just sat here for 5 minutes because we're both voice actors just going back and forth in different style AI voices.
It was a lot of fun.
It was amazing.
Oh my god. I don't know. I don't know. And then, like, in the middle of the fucking intro, I'm not leaving this in. But, like, not leaving it. Damn it, now I have to leave it in.
Scrank.
Are you done?
Don't touch the portholes. We're going down.
Remember that from last episode?
I don't think the Titanic had a parrot.
Maybe it should have.
I feel like... God.
It's 11. Really dumb.
It's 11:15.
Would you like to use your AI voice to introduce yourself? It's really late, so if this is bad, don't judge us. We're tired.
We are exhausted. Please do not judge us too much. My name is Psychos.
It's embarrassing now that I'm trying to do it.
If I had to do it, so did you.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Wicked Anthology. My name is Mythos.
I mean, it could be very different types of voices. We do very different characters, though. My character has to have an American accent. Yours has to have a British accent. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, it could be worse. I could do the
attention, audience. Yeah, it just doesn't sit right in my voice.
Attention, audience. You are now listening to Wicked Anthology.
Yeah, it's a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
Attention, audience. Please leave a review on Apple Podcast for Wicked Anthology. You are being...
Not hallucinated.
You are being brainwashed.
I almost said circumcised.
You are actively being circumcised. Right now, by me. Welcome to Wicked Anthology.
I mean, it could be worse. I could do the doctor.
Voice. No, it's creepy. I had to listen to it yesterday.
It scared me.
Did it really scare
you? It was scary.
Because the character that you're playing is masculine, like AMAB.
Mm-hmm.
But the monster is queen. And...
Oh, for sure.
And which is ironic because in the non-monster version is played by our boss.
Which is hilarious.
Who's definitely listening to this now that I'm saying this out loud. So our boss, your robot version is giving queen energy. You can ask Psychos' manager what that means. Or your daughter. Starbeam. You can ask Starbeam what that means. Yeah. So today's the voice you use is very horny.
No, I hate when people say that. I don't mean to, like, I don't mean for it to sound like that. It just does.
That's fair.
Like
it just does. I don't know what to tell you, man.
It's a lot lower and smoother with, like, a hint of insanity behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like playing outright insane characters. It just doesn't sit well with my voice. But, like, that... Have you seen Soul Eater?
I've seen 2 episodes.
Do you remember Medusa?
No, I didn't get that far.
Damn it. Okay.
I think I actually just saw the first episode. They fought the Blair
chick. Oh, my
chick.
God. I fucking hate Blair.
That was
anyway.
It. That's as far as I got. I think I stopped before they kicked her ass or something.
Yeah.
It's literally the first episode. You said Soul Eater, right?
Soul Eater.
Yeah.
There's a character on there called Medusa. She is...
I know Medusa because every crazy person that cosplays Mekon also cosplays Medusa. This is a call out.
I just got called out.
The thing is, though, is I'm not wrong.
No, you're not. Anyway, so she's like a big inspiration for that voice. So how...
Is everyone doing after last episode?
Oh my god.
Crazy, right?
Last episode was about like... 45 minutes ago. I'm still I'm fucking panic right now, and my case is only gonna get worse.
I have to be at work in 12 hours.
Yep.
Okay,
today's a rare day though.
Nothing bad happens today.
Nothing bad happens, but today is a rare day where both of our stories are lighthearted.
Yeah.
Mythos's case is actually a little bit darker than mine. Slightly.
Not really. I just wanted to go first.
Oh, so you lied to me. So
I
you
did.
Could go. That's fine.
I did lie to you. I'm sorry.
I don't mind. Honestly.
I'm just really excited to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while.
I'm so excited to talk about mine, but you guys are.
And it's good because next episode is going to be dark.
It's going to be
really
dark.
It's going to be dark on Psychosis, and I'm going to make fun of these people.
Yeah, it's going to be really dark on my end.
Okay.
So today we are in Egypt.
Ooh.
Not talking about something that I thought I was going to be talking about in Egypt first. I also want to make it known that I'm not going as in-depth on this as I could. I just want to give kind of like a basic overview of this because I'm going to deep dive into more of the specifics on this later. I just want to give like a general overview to kind of clear some stuff. So I mentioned that the other day I had bought a Bible. What I failed to mention is I bought another book as well. I bought the Handbook for the Recently Deceased. Which Psychos is laughing at that because while that's not what this is called, it's what it is. Which is a horrible misconception to what people think it is. Because when people hear of what I'm about to talk about, they think it's the Necronomicon levels of dark magic and necromancy.
You should cover the Necronomicon.
I'm not covering the Necronomicon.
You could.
I'm not covering the Necronomicon.
Please.
I'm not doing it. Nope.
You should do it for Halloween.
We'll see.
Okay.
So people think that what this book is this raising of the dead, demon worship book it's how they were able to do like dark magic or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's literally like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Today I'm talking about the Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
Book of the Dead, Book of the Dead, Book of the Dead.
Yes. We are doing the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Now, this is not a how to raise the dead. This is not a how to make mummies walk. This is not dark rituals or whatever the fuck they used it for in The Mummy. So I guess they used it in The Mummy.
It in The Mummy?
Yes, I don't know.
I don't remember. I was too busy staring at Brendan Fraser.
Oh my god, no. I was too busy staring at that one character, the one with the tattoos on his cheekbones.
So I've never seen The Mummy.
Oh my god, we need to watch The Mummy.
I do love Brendan Fraser. So here we go. Brendan Fraser, listen to this.
Hi.
That one stitch.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm really fucking manic right now.
So both of us are. We're gonna meet for the next 2 hours. So I have this set as a cast of characters, and I also have the description of the book itself. So I'm gonna start with the book description, and then we're gonna get into the cast of characters because it gets really weird. So what is the Egyptian Book of the Dead? The Book of the Dead is not a book of the dead, nor is it it's not a book in general, nor is it of the dead. It's actually the interpretation of the German name of the way that they explained it in German. The English translation of the German word for it was Book of the Dead. And it was technically like book, like kill book almost.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Basically. What it actually was is it's the funerary text. It's a funerary text.
Oh.
Now, it's not the how-to of how to mummify someone. It is not the how-to of how to do a funeral practice. That's different. That is part of the funerary text, but this is part of... So this is like section 3 of like 50 or whatever. Right?
Okay.
So this book can properly be translated to something closer to Book of Coming Forth by Day or Book of Emerging Forth into the Light.
Okay.
This book was not a book. It was a, well, later on, it was papyrus. It was a papyrus scroll. And on it was a collection of spells and rituals that would help the deceased navigate the underworld to get to paradise.
Oh, so this is like a, okay, so you go here.
Literally.
Oh, so it's like basically a road atlas.
It's literally a road atlas, yes.
Okay,
for
cool.
Getting from where you were buried
into the underworld, because the underworld is very different from paradise. The underworld is the path you would take to paradise, which they called the Field of Reeds. And then after that, you have a whole other goal. There's like steps to this, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a video game. You're navigating this. It tells you who to talk to, what to do. You have to form allies. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have people chasing you, hunting you down, monster trying to eat you. Literally.
Ooh, okay.
They called the Egyptian underworld Duat. D-U-A-T. I could be wrong on that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Called it Duat. And it, so once they get to paradise, after they get through this little ritual situation, they would enter what was called the Field of Reeds, and they would experience life similar to how it was when they were alive. Their dead family members would be there. Dead pets would also be there. And they would basically live normal lives, but that was not the end goal. So I'll get into it in a second.
How is that not the end goal, though? Like that,
it'll make sense in a minute. I promise.
Like to me, that's like perfect for me.
Yeah, it'll make sense in a minute. So this is not a Bible. First of all, people think that this is a religious text. The Book of the Dead is like the Bible for Egyptians. It's not. It's literally just a how-to guide. Mm-hmm. Now, originally, way, way, way back, they didn't have these written down. This Book of the Dead was not written. It was orally translated, orally passed down from person to person who would take care of the funeral practices. Now, I want to make it very clear. In this, I'm going to say spells. I'm going to say rituals. Rituals and spells are very different. Spells are for the deceased. Rituals are for the living. Mm-hmm. It's very important to note.
Okay, so it's...
The living did rituals to help the deceased with their spells.
Got it.
There is also no one Book of the Dead because they were specially made per person.
Oh, okay.
So you would have different types. So I'll explain more of that in a second. I'm just trying to get the basic stuff here. So the Book of the Dead originally appeared as what was called pyramid text. Now, this was the inscriptions that were written on the inside of walls in the funeral tomb itself. Mm-hmm. These were usually reserved for kings, or they were most known to be found on kings' tombs, and they would have the spells and incantations to help the king ascend. In the 5th dynasty, which is around 2500 to 2301 BCE,
before Common Era,
these inscriptions would speak of the deceased after death. So they're starting to get the idea that there is an afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to move from the pyramid text into the coffin text. Do you want to guess why it's called the coffin text now?
Because it's found inside the coffin?
It's found on the inside of the coffins. You're correct. The coffin text was derived from or exactly the same to the pyramid text. It'd be the same shit. Now, at this point, one of the videos that I saw mentioned that at this point, only kings were guaranteed access to the afterlife. I'm going to disprove that in a little bit. But at this point, this is what people are thinking. Mm-hmm. Now, in the first intermediate period, this is 2181 to 2040 BCE. So it's about 200 years after the 5th dynasty. So we're moving forward in time. Mm-hmm. This is when the inscriptions are starting to get painted on the interior of the coffin. Now, these coffins would be basically, they'd have the pyramid text plus more spells on it. Now, the spells were basically a cheat sheet. They were things that you needed to know. So spells are not how we understand them today. I'm going to make it as like, say you have an exam mm-hmm. and you get a study guide and the study guide has all of the answers on it. The study guide's on the inside of your coffin, basically.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So the study guide is things, the spells are things that you needed to know in the afterlife. You didn't have to have them written down. But having them written down was helpful. The rituals were done by the living for you to make it easier. So things like cutting your mouth open after you were mummified, cutting your mouth open, the mummification process itself is also considered a ritual, mm-hmm. Would give your mouth the ability to be used. Doing certain things with the outside of your eyes and your nose once you're mummified would also give you access to those things in the underworld so that you can see and smell and speak. Mm-hmm. Also, the mummification process itself was a ritual. The Egyptians believed that your body would go with you into the afterlife. So they would mummify you to keep your body as preserved as possible so you wouldn't decompose while you're in the middle of trying to enter the afterlife.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And you'll find that a lot within their myths, too. They believe that people can't get into the underworld until their body is properly mummified and whole.
Mm. Okay. as whole as it can be.
So the Book of the Dead first arrived in the New Kingdom period, which is 1570 to 1069 BCE. So we're moving up in time a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We start to see depictions, physical drawing depictions of what the afterlife is like. A lot of these depictions have nothing to do with the funeral practices themselves, and they were constantly changing. And these also could be written anywhere. They were on pottery, they were on the walls, they were on the coffins, whatever. They used to be written on the inside of the coffins, and then they changed the coffins from being like square ones to actually being the formed shape of the person. When they did that, they actually just put the papyrus scrolls inside with the person because they wouldn't fit on the inside of the coffin anymore.
All right.
It's too small.
So it wasn't like originally that like person shape that we know them as today.
No, they used to have normal square coffins and then they started molding them to the person's body. That is updated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Say that you are about to die, right?
Oh no.
And you're going to die, whatever. And mm-hmm. you've got money, right? You've got money.
Where did I get this money from?
Work. I don't know. Wherever the fuck you get money from. Doesn't matter. You have money. So you go to a scribe. Basically, you go to a book writer, but it's a very special type. You go to a scribe and you say, hey, here's me. Here's my birth chart. Here's what I've done with my life. Here's what I do for my job. All this stuff. Make me a Book of the Dead. So they go, okay. So they learn all this information about you, and then they will write out the spells that you need, the cheat sheet that you need, given the life you've lived, what you're most likely to encounter on your way to the underworld.
Okay.
If you're a merchant, you might experience something different than if you were a sailor or a king or a farmer. Your life is going to dictate what kind of things you're going to encounter. So they're going to be very different. So no two books of the dead are alike at all. In fact, a lot of them didn't have anything in common at all. There was only one thing that was consistent through all of them, and I'll get to it in a second.
That's a big misconception I know I had. Like, I thought they were all the same.
So
it's very nice to see that they're all kind of like...
I'll actually tell you what the standardized one is. I have a copy of it in my hands. I'll tell you what one this one is. Because the one that we have that we reference the most is actually one from a scribe. It's just his is the most well-preserved.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You die. Dead. R.I.P.P. I know.
Damn.
So you're dead. Now your body is mummified, your organs are removed, and you are placed in your coffin. Your organs are placed with you, and you have your papyrus scroll, and they close the coffin. Boom! You wake up in the underworld. Oh my god, what's going on? Standing in front of you is going to be a man with the head of a jackal. Now, you already know who this is. Mm-hmm. We're both very familiar with who this is. But for anyone who does not know, the jackal-headed god is Anubis. I'm going to jump into Anubis real fast. I'm going to go by person. So you encounter Anubis. Now, I'm going off of a video that I watched. I will, I want to say, I don't remember what it's called. I want to give credit where credit is due. All the information that I've learned about these gods is from the YouTuber John Solo, who has a podcast called, I'd love to tell you, Messed Up Origins.
That sounds like a fun podcast to listen to.
So the podcast Messed Up Origins, his videos, John Solo's videos, is where I've gotten the information from for these three gods that I'm going to talk about. So we start with Anubis. He introduces Anubis, or Anpu, as the Egyptian called him, in the best way possible. He says, Anubis is the god of minding his own damn business.
Oh, I love that.
The reason being is because Anubis only shows up in two myths. Actually, I think it's only one. I may be lying about that. He does not show up a lot in myths for good mm-hmm. reason. So Anubis is a jackal-headed god. Now, if you don't know what a jackal is, it's like a dog-fox mix. I highly recommend looking one up if you don't know. But Anubis is a jackal-headed dog, or a jackal-headed god. He is the god of funeral rites, the protector of graves, and the guide to the underworld. So there's a really big misconception that Anubis is the god of the underworld. He is not the god of the underworld right now. We'll get into it. But he's like the equivalent of a ferryman. Now, there is a ferryman in Egyptian mythology, but in the sense that the first person that you encounter that takes you to where you need to go is going to be Anubis. And he mm-hmm. also is there to do a ritual that I'll get to in a second. So the first god you encounter, you've died, dead. You wake up, Anubis is there. An important thing to note is this Book of the Dead is going to tell you all of this information. You mm-hmm. have to know these people's names. You have to know who they are. there are like 70 gods you're going to encounter. Bare minimum, you have to memorize 52 of them on top of all of the other major gods you're going to find. So you got to know your shit. Yeah. So first god you meet is Anubis. Now, Anubis shows up in the myth of Osiris, who I will mention soon, but Osiris is considered the actual god of the underworld currently. Anubis was created by Ra. Now, Ra is a different god. We don't have to worry about him right now. He's the sun god, I believe. He's the god of the sun in Egyptian mythology. He is... How do I explain Ra? What do you look like, dude? He's got a bird head. Yes, he is the Egyptian god of the sun. Osiris was murdered, right? Fun, festive, not, but whatever. His body was destroyed. Anubis was brought in to repair the body. That is why he pertains over funeral rites, because he's part of the preservation of the body process. Mm-hmm. That is important to know for him. There's a theory that Anubis is the adopted kid of Isis, which is Osiris's sister and wife. There's really ambiguous history on Anubis's origins. I'm not going to really quote it for sure, but Anubis is a jackal-headed god. That's all you need to know. He was part of the Osiris origin story where he basically put Osiris's body back together. I'll explain why it fell apart later. After Osiris's body was put together, Anubis is typically depicted with leopard skin, which makes no fucking sense to people, which is fine. But it's because of the myth later on. After Osiris's body is put together, Set, who killed Osiris, again, I'll give context in a second, turned into a leopard to try to redestroy the body. Right? Anubis was like, not having it, grabs a metal hot rod and starts beating the shit out of Set. Good on him.
Good for you, dude, but what the fuck?
So he, well, Set is the one that killed Osiris in the first place.
Yeah, that's fair.
So he beats the shit out of Set, skins him, and then puts on the fur to basically warn others, don't fuck with this grave. That is why Anubis is typically depicted wearing leopard skin or something around it. It said that it was given the black dots from the hot iron rod hitting the fur. So there's that. We know who Anubis is. We kind of know where he comes from. We know how he's involved with the underworld, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anubis is also kind of the god of, like, not truth, but so you've met Anubis. You've died, you've met Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the underworld and you meet these 42 gods, right? So you're led into a room. There's 42 gods. You have to go up to each one of them, greet them by name, tell them what they preside over, and then confess a sin that you haven't committed. So tell them something that you, a bad thing that you haven't done, okay. Right? So you could say, I've never cursed the king, or I've never done this, or whatever. Like, you can say, oh, I've never made someone cry, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. You confess these things that you haven't done. Now, these gods, they go, they discuss it. They're like, whisper, whisper, whisper. What do we do with this? Now, in the room, you're also going to have Isis. You're also going to have Osiris. So there's different variations of who's in the room. Now, sometimes you can skip the process and go right to Osiris and do the weighing of the hearts there. Sometimes you do it before then and you're led to Osiris. Bare minimum, consistently, the thing that happens across every single goddamn Book of the Dead is the weighing of the hearts. In the book, I feel like I've done this whole thing really out of order. So you have died. I've yes, said this I so have. Many times. Now, you paid for this really nice scroll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had money. So you are in the underworld and you've got your Book of the Dead. So you get to these people and you've got these 42 gods that you have to talk to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Confess your sins that you didn't commit, and the gods would go off and talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, lucky for you, okay, they have decided, okay, look, let's give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them a chance. So they take your heart out. Now, the Egyptians believed this. Don't freak out. The Egyptian believes that the soul resided in the heart. Now, the removal of the heart was painless. They would set it on the scales and they weigh it against a feather of Ma'at. Now, Ma'at is the goddess of, like, justice and truth and light. Good shit, right?
Yeah.
If your heart weighs the same or lighter than the feather, then, by the way, lighter or the same as the feather, then you can pass on basically saying you lived your life selflessly. You don't have to be a good person. You just didn't have to be selfish, right? Okay,
yeah.
Now, if your heart weighs heavier than the feather, then you did not live a good life. Sorry about it. So, bad ending first. Your heart hits the ground. Feather, flying. You have the darkest heart that's ever been seen on the face of the goddamn planet. Anubis says, mm-mm. You're not entering my underworld today, bitch. Takes your heart on the floor.
Yeet.
Throws it, right?
Goodbye.
Out of the shadows.
Oh, no, I don't like
comes this. Amut, the head of a crocodile, the front arms of a lion, and the back end of a hippopotamus. And she comes out, and she devours your heart. And the moment that your heart is devoured, you're nothing. Your soul is gone. You are nothing. That's it. You don't get another chance. That's it. Dark stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That book didn't help you now. But, you paid for a really good Book of the Dead.
Okay.
Now, your Book of the Dead would have come standard. Premium. With 160 standardized spells. However, you got money. So, you slide the scribe. Maybe a little hundred or two extra dollars. You can get some additional spells. You can also get additional drawings put into your Book of the Dead. Because you're lucky to have been born around 650 BCE when this was standard. You have spell 125, which tells you how to pass the Hall of Truth or the Hall of Two Truths where Osiris judges your heart with Anubis.
I feel like that's cheating.
It is.
I don't like that.
You're buried with a scarab over your heart in certain depictions that shields your heart and prevents it from betraying you and telling the truth when you tell the gods the sins you haven't committed in certain tellings. So they discuss it. Okay, fine. You know what? Your heart weighed great. Whatever. You can go. Cool. You made it.
Freedom.
You made it past Osiris.
Oh, no.
But now you still have to go through all of this shit.
How much more is there?
You've got snakes.
I'm dead.
You got snakes trying to come out of the water when you're crossing the river, the Lily River, to or Lily Lake, when you're crossing Lily Lake. They're trying to come up and eat you. You've got crocodiles coming to try and eat you. You've got spells just in case you get turned into a flower. You've got spells in case someone tries to kill you. Again? You've got spells telling you maybe who you should and shouldn't ally yourself with, who they're related to, what their family is, what they preside over. If you need help with a certain thing, go to the god that has that thing. Become friends with him, right?
Yeah.
Now, you've done it. You've gone through the maze. You've landed in the Field of Reeds. You're in paradise. Your family's there. Your pets are there. You can be there for a while, but then you're like, this isn't it, though. I've got more to do.
What more do you have to do?
Well, there's more after this. Because being in the underworld isn't the final step. The real goal is to move past that. Because if you work hard enough, you can join Ra in the sky as his entourage, as he guides the sun across the sky. You can be there if that's what you want to do. Or if you're a king, if you're a pharaoh, if those are things that can go hand in hand verb-wise or word-wise.
Okay.
You can be associated with Osiris.
Oh, okay.
You join Osiris. And whoever presided after you over Egypt is now related to Horus, his son. You become one with Osiris. You're equated with Osiris. People believed that kings were already partially divine anyway. So they kind of had it easy. They could just kind of walk in and be like, I'm king, just weigh me now, you know?
Yeah.
But it wasn't just reserved for kings. You could be anyone. Just because the funeral rooms that we found, the tombs that we found, have these extravagant displays of wealth with pottery and weapons and whatnot. Those are great, but they're actually not necessary in the afterlife. Not how other people believed them to be. you know, we put these symbols and these stuff in these rooms, believing that they would go on with the next person. That's not the case. A spear here isn't going to be a spear there. It's a show of power and wealth, yes. But you don't really need them in the afterlife. You really just need your Book of the Dead. Your handbook for the recently deceased. You're a farmer. You can get in. You're a king. You can get in. The Book of the Dead wasn't a, hey, by the way, we can do this. It was a, hey, we've been doing this for thousands of years. Let's write it down.
Okay.
That was it. That's the Book of the Dead. It's actually not that intense when people think about it and realize it.
No. So. It's not.
Anubis. We've met Anubis. We know Anubis, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to finish at Anubis real fast. Why does Anubis preside over the deceased if he's a jackal, who are scavengers who eat corpses?
Oof.
The Egyptians had an idea that you would fight fire with fire. So say you had issues with jackals eating corpses, we'll stick a jackal in there. A jackal on our side to ward them off. A jackal knows how a jackal thinks. So Anubis presides over the funerary rites. That's why when they would do these funeral rites or do these things, they would wear the heads of Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the death mascot, basically.
Okay.
That's why he's there. And he protects over them and guards their tombs afterwards. The tombs are protected by this jackal-headed god. So he's the master of scales. He's the one weighing the hearts. Now, he didn't make the feather. It's the scale of Ma'at. It's her feather. But he's the one making that judgment call. He's the doorkeeper, basically, to the underworld.
Yeah, he's the one who can tell you whether or not you got in.
Mm-hmm. And well, technically, yes and no. He's the one who helps that process happen. Now, most of these gods have a city that's like a center of worship for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the city that's the center for Anubis is Canopolis. It's the city of dogs in Greek. Why is it called the city of dogs if it's the head of Anubis's worship, right? Not for the reason you think. They sacrificed a shit ton of dogs. There's actually dog catacombs.
Okay.
There was an industry, probably, around breeding these dogs. For sacrifices.
Did you say probably?
Probably. To Anubis to get on his good side. Be like, hey, I'll sacrifice a dog for you if you let me in. Which is ironic. He's also like in modern witch times considered to be a god of dogs.
Something tells me that he didn't.
But there's literally dog catacombs. Literally dog catacombs. Millions. I'm not even joking. That's not a joke. Look at me in the eyes. Millions of dogs.
I could not. Oh, poor babies.
Now, Anubis was the original god of the underworld.
Yeah.
Back. The cult of Osiris came in. This is what the guy called it. Bear with me. He, from what I've seen, the cult of Osiris came in and said, we want Osiris to be the god of the underworld. So Anubis was demoted to doorkeeper, basically. And Anubis took over in his place. Osiris took over in his place. Now, that's it. Anubis's myth transferring over to Osiris. I'm not sure when that happened. Mm-hmm. Osiris's myth comes a little bit later, I think, in history. So he's kind of like a newer vibe going on. So we've talked so much about Osiris. Let's just fucking talk about Osiris. So the Egyptians believed that writing something made it happen. So they did most of their history orally. Most of the information that we have about Osiris is actually from other societies that interacted with Egyptians. We actually don't have much from Egyptians about Osiris. It took a while for like the depictions to fucking like make sense to us. So Osiris is the supreme god of the dead. He's the big boss. Now he's known as the king of the dead and the judge of the underworld, resurrection and renewal. He's associated with the Nile itself. The river that flows through. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he was originally born alive to be the king of Egypt. He is said to have showed humans in Egypt how to have civilization, how to honor the gods themselves, and how to grow crops. He was originally a god of the crops. That's important. Mm-hmm. Now, he was also said to have traveled all over the world, and he made besties with all the other gods. Mm-hmm. Again, this is information that we have from other societies. So, which is interesting that these societies had no problem with other religions existing and being bestie with their gods. By the way.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Staring real hard at some of y'all.
Osiris has a brother named Set.
It's
now.
He's a brother. Can't trust a brother.
There's four. So there's two brothers and two sisters. I didn't write down the sisters. I'm sorry. So Osiris and Set are brothers. Now, Set murders Osiris. There's different variations as to why and how it happened. So Osiris ends up being with Isis, his sister. The second sister, I did not write the name down of, I'm sorry. But she was with Set, or he wanted to date her, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Osiris may or may not have slept with the other sister. May or may not have also had Anubis with her. We don't know. Set was like, that was my sister girlfriend first.
That was my sister girlfriend first.
So he's like, you know what? I've had enough of this. Either I'm jealous or I'm mad that you slept with my sister girlfriend. So
stop saying sister girlfriend, please.
He either was torn apart, drowned, or Set made a coffin custom to Osiris and didn't tell him. Went to a party and basically said, hey, whoever fits in this coffin perfectly keeps it. Obviously, it was fit to Osiris, so Osiris lays in it to test it. Boom, it fits. Boom, he's sealed in and, like, soldered into this coffin shut. Like, fully sealed.
Yikes.
Gets yeeted into the river. Now, Isis is like, where is my husband? Where do he be? So she starts running around, sobbing, looking for anyone who has seen her husband. Now, she eventually finds him and hides his body in a thing of reeds by the river nearby, like where he's found. He's like washed up on shore. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not sure if it's because of she wasn't ready to resurrect him yet. She had shit to do. We don't really know why, but she hides him in these reeds.
Okay.
Now, while she's gone, Set comes along and finds the body and is like, the fuck? I disposed of you once. Why are you still here? So he rips up the body and scatters them all over Egypt. We don't know how many pieces. There's rumors that there's 14 up to like 40 something pieces. We really don't know. But he scatters this body all over the place. It takes her a stupid amount of time to find all the pieces to his body. But there's one part missing.
Oh,
his staff.
I hated the... Just say dick, babe.
His staff.
I hate so, whenever you try to censor yourself.
She can't find it. Oh, no. Ready to go. I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, it's great. So there's a rumor that it was thrown into the ocean and it was eaten by a certain set of fish that they don't eat because they make you hallucinate. We don't know if this is true or not.
Oh, that's what you mentioned last episode.
Yes. The other idea is that it just was lost. She found it. Or she made him a new one. A replacement. A second staff. Proxy staff. Is what he said in the video. So I thought it was funny. So she makes him a new one. And puts it on him. And now he's whole. Yay! Poof! He's in the afterlife now. Because he can't enter the afterlife until he is, you know. That's one version. Or two, boom, staff's back on. I'm alive. He's resurrected. But since he's died, he insists that he has to return to the underworld and be the god of the underworld. He has to stay in the land of the dead. He's died. Aww. He's staying in the land of the dead.
Okay.
She's very sad about this, but it's okay. They'll be fine.
No.
They're fine.
Are you sure? Okay.
So he goes down and he becomes the god of the underworld. And she's like, oh, but my husband. And he's like, babe, it's fine. Because our son is going to take over as the new king. And that's Horus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know if Horus was born before Osiris died or if they had him, conceived him before he died. Or in that small time where he was resurrected before he went to the underworld. We don't know.
I mean, so if you know you're going to
use the OG or the 2.0 version of the staff. I'm assuming OG. Anyway.
Are you sure?
Boom! Horus is here and he dukes it out with Set for so long. And then that thing happened that I told you in the car that I don't want to talk about. Look up if you want to know what I'm talking about, look up the myth between Set and Orus and the weird thing. Actually, I have to bring it up with Thoth. I'm not gonna bring it up with Thoth.
You're
just
like,
look it up. It's weird. It's weird. It's not gross. It's just a little gay. It's fine.
Dude, don't be homophobic.
I will be. Osiris was loved by the Egyptian people. I mean, he was their king, and he taught them how to be people and how to have crops and how to survive. They were very, very sad. So all the sacrifices to him were very, very sad. But it's believed that he was the one that, or he had a part in flooding the Nile, which would give water to the areas where they would grow crops.
Mm.
Whenever a king died, they believed that the king would become one with Osiris, and the next person in line would become the representative of Horus. So you were one with Horus, and then you die, and you become one with Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd pass from father to son. Or son to father, sorry.
That's sad.
Now, Abydos is the city that is the center of worship for Osiris. Now, every year, the city would hold a play recreating his death and resurrection.
Hmm.
This would happen in January over the course of 5 days. And then after the 5 days, a funeral procession would take place from the center of the city to his tomb. And they had different ones for different places, and it's believed that each different place was one of the places where a different part of his body ended up.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, wealthy people would actually, like, build their houses on the edge of this funeral procession path, believing that if they did that, it would bring them closer to Osiris. They would favor him when they went to the afterlife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thought.
Yeah. So, the other person I'm going to talk about is Thoth. Now, I haven't mentioned Thoth yet. Thoth is there. It's T-H-O-T-H. So, come with me, Thoth. Okay. Now, Thoth is always there. When you do the weighing of the hearts, the record that your heart was weighed a certain way and what you confess is written down by the scribe Thoth. He is the note taker. He's always depicted with Anubis taking down notes. I can actually show you him.
He's the one who takes all the notes at the D&D sessions.
No, literally. So this is Amut right here.
Okay.
And then this is Thoth right here.
Okay.
And then this is Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain who this guy is later, but this guy right here is Ani.
Okay.
And also Ani is, I want to say that guy, but I'm not sure. Anyway, there's his spirit, that little bird-headed human thing.
I love him.
Anyway. Oh, and here's what Osiris looks like, since I didn't show you that. This is Osiris right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly how you imagine Osiris would look like.
Exactly how a king should
and
look.
And this okay. is Horus right here, this guy.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. And he's guiding Ani. So Ani's right here, and this is Horus. And the rest of this is how to not die.
No, how to not die again.
Literally. Thoth, he's the note taker. He's mm-hmm. always there documenting shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Thoth is a very unique god compared to all of the other gods because he's actually so old. The Egyptians believed that he was part of the original eight gods, like the OG. Like, you know how gods, like, or Christians believe that God was, like, God before God was God?
Mm-hmm.
People believed that Thoth was Thoth before Thoth was Thoth.
Okay.
So, I actually knew this already, but the origin story for Egyptians, because every religion has their origin story. The origin story is that Earth-ish was made on an island out of the sea of Nun, which is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So darkness, basically. Now, these eight gods existed in this time. Now, Thoth took the form of the Ibis. It's a crane with a really long, like, sickle-shaped
yeah.
beak. Now, this Ibis laid an egg on this island, and in this egg held all of creation. Now, when it hatched, the egg itself turned into the sun,
mm-hmm.
and creation became everything that we are. There's other stories that say that Thoth is actually the eldest son from Ra, or that Thoth is the son of Horus, but I'm choosing to believe that he's one of the original eight gods. So, we don't really know for certain, but Thoth being the eldest or one of the older ones make sense because he's the one that gave Egyptians hieroglyphs. He's the god of the writing system that they have, which makes sense that he's a scribe. It also makes sense that he was there before anything else because how are you going to do any of this if you don't have hieroglyphs to write things down in?
Exactly. So
Thoth was also considered to be an advisor of the gods, specifically to Ra, who has a lot of fucking beef with like everyone.
Ra's just like there.
So.
He's the other shards. Start shit.
You are not prepared for this myth, where this specific myth is about to go. Okay.
I get the strongest feeling I am not.
So, Thoth is the advisor to a god. I'm just going to tell you one story to kind of give you an idea of, like, what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ra. Ra. Sun god. Ra.
I don't like the way you're saying his name, babe.
Ra decides that he wants to date his granddaughter, Nut.
Sometimes I forget Egypt, not just Egyptians, but sometimes I forget.
Everyone does incesty things.
Everybody is doing really incesty things.
Now, here's the problem. Nut's taken by her brother, Geb. So Ra is like,
but what if I wanted to date my granddaughter girlfriend?
Yeah. So he's like, this is homophobic and illegal. So you're not allowed to have birth any day of the year. Sorry about it. Huh?
Have birth.
Oh, I say have birth.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to give birth any day of the year. R.I.P.P. Now, Thoth is like, that's fucked up.
You can't do that.
That's illegal. So, Thoth decides to play checkers with the moon god.
Tag yourself.
And he wins. And he gets a small amount of her light, which amounts to about 5 days. Right?
Okay.
You're not prepared. Do you have a rough idea where this is going to go?
I feel like I know where this is going.
Where do you think this is
going to
go?
I feel like he's about to create like a whole ass new calendar just so that she can give birth.
He is. He adds on the 5 days to the very end of the 360-day calendar the Egyptians had, making it a 365-day calendar. During those 5 days, she's allowed to give birth because they aren't part of the original calendar that Ra cursed her with. Isn't that crazy?
We love a homie.
I know. Thoth himself was the patron god of scribes, which makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because scribes are also the ones that are writing the Book of the Dead. So they're all kind of intertwined a little bit. However, some people believe that Thoth did not come from the main center of the religion. He was actually on the, kind of the outskirts of the religion, kind of the more fringe groups of religious people believed in him. He ended up pushing his way into the center. So we don't know if he was an original god or if he was like a fanfic god that just got really serious.
I don't know how to explain it. Thank you for phrasing it like
you're
that.
So welcome. But he's one of the main people you're going to meet. So bare minimum, the one thing that every single everyone's spell, like Book of the Dead's going to have in common is spell 125, where you meet Anubis. You have your heart weighed, you go before Osiris, you go before the 42 judges, you tell them the 42 sins you have never committed.
42?
42.
Oh, okay. I must have blanked on that part. I'm sorry.
Did I not say 42?
You said 42 gods. I don't remember if you said 42 people. I could have just
42 gods.
I know, like, not 42 people, but like 42 gods, but I didn't know you had to say, like, a sin
yes.
for
so
each
you
of
have,
them.
So you have to go to each god, and you have to tell them a sin you haven't committed in association with the things that they preside over, I think. Oh. Or you have to tell them what they preside over and a sin you haven't committed.
Okay.
To each one of them. Okay. And that's where that scarab comes in. It'll shield your heart and it won't tell them you're lying. So you can lie to them. I know.
I don't think you want drama. To lie to the gods.
I know. Drama. Anyway, you have to know everyone's name, everything. You also have to know the name of the door and the floors that you're walking on. Like, you have to know everything about this room. Spell 124 is the most important one. It also tells you that you have to be kind to the ferryman that takes you across the Lily Lake to the Field of Reeds. You gotta be nice to your Uber driver.
I mean, clearly.
That is the spell that they deemed the most important, that it is consistent through every single surviving Book of the Dead that we have. Now, the most important Book of the Dead that we have, the one that we get a lot of this information from, is from the Papyrus of Ani. Now, the Papyrus of Ani is just Ani's Book of the Dead. It's just his manual that we have. It's just the most preserved one.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the most legible, and it's the best example. Now, he was an Egyptian scribe, which makes a lot of sense. Now, the benefit for scribes back then is if you wrote them a good book of the dead and they got into the afterlife, they'd put in a good word for you. So when you got into the afterlife, it'd be super easy for you to pass because you already know this shit anyway. You're writing everyone else's fucking textbooks.
You're like, look, I did all of this for so many people.
No, literally. Now, Ani's papyrus was originally discovered in 1888. It was actually not discovered by archaeologists, though. It was discovered by people on the illegal antiquities trade. And it was purchased. And do you want to take a wild fucking guess where it is right now?
Something tells me it's in England right now.
It's in the British Museum.
Of fucking course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Of fucking course it is.
Now, this papyrus is super detailed. It is densely filled with information, details, and drawings. It is the most helpful. It actually gave a lot of context to drawings that we were seeing from way older of funeral rites that we didn't understand yet because we didn't have the papyruses for it yet.
Mm.
So it sucked because we had all these photos of what was going on during these funeral rites, but we didn't actually know why or what was happening until later on we started getting these papyruses and these funeral rites that were finally written down. And it was like, oh, that's what's happening in this photo. Because if you don't have the photos, some of this shit looks weird as fuck. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I mean, yeah.
But that hopefully gives a little more context as to, one, why mummies exist. But two, the Book of the Dead is not some scary demon book, whatever. It's literally a, hey, you've died. You're gonna go to heaven. You're gonna meet Jesus. I hope you know your shit. Here's all the angels you're gonna encounter. Here's their names. Here's what they preside over. You have to confess your sins to them. And you can lie about it. Here's how to get to heaven. Here's how to find your house. Here's how to find your complimentary towel that you get. Just the one.
You only get one.
You only get one. I think I stole that from South Park. Or not South Park. I think I stole it from Family Guy. But, I mean, imagine. You know?
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. It's not some scary thing. It's like a roadmap for Valhalla or Hell, the Nordic one, not the Christian one. It's smart, you know?
It's very smart.
But that's how they started depicting the afterlife, is by telling people how to navigate it, which is really weird if you think about it from a religious standpoint. As people started dying and going to these places, they started slowly filling out how to get down there, how to figure it out, to eventually the point that it was like a full-blown, like, system. They, like, TripAdvisored your way through this fucking thing. Isn't that crazy? So, that is my very, very brief explanation of the Book of the Dead, which is so cool. And now I have my own Book of the Dead that I can read.
I think it's fascinating. Like, honestly, I didn't realize just how, like, it is very... Like, I genuinely...
It's not as, like, spooky as people think it is.
No, I genuinely thought that you were ripping off a fucking video game. I thought this was going to be your...
That is actually what the Book of the Dead is. It's actually... There's not a lot of information in it. I mean, there is in the sense that, like, if you really want to know everything, then you can go in and look. But the Ani's papyrus is going to look very different from everyone else's. My papyrus might look completely different from yours. Literally, the only thing that all of them have in common is spell 127.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Out of 160, like, average. But it's, like, what you felt was important to note. You also didn't have to have one. If you felt that you knew the information in life, you didn't have to have a Book of the Dead. It was nice to have. But if you studied enough for the exam, you didn't have to take the study sheet with you.
Yeah.
You can have it with you. It's convenient. But you don't have to have it. That's pretty much all it was. That's what all that text was. Usually, I assume it's probably... I don't know anything about the other funeral texts that they would put in the room, but I assume it's probably... Here's what they did in life. Here's this stuff. Here's how they were prepared, whatever. But the funeral text, the Book of the Dead, wasn't meant for the living. It was meant for the dead.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, here's Google Maps. We've printed the directions. Here you go. I mean, that's basically what it was. They printed the directions. So I honestly wasn't anticipating that either. I thought the Book of the Dead was going to be something completely different. I was flabbergasted that it's actually way simpler than I thought it was. So
I'm very, like... pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my story.
I genuinely thought that this was your way of getting back at me for the fucking video.
No, I'm gonna get back at you for that next year.
Oh god, I don't even know how you're gonna do. Anyway.
Isn't that just so...
It's so
underwhelming.
It's kind of underwhelming, but at the same time...
In a good way.
It's nice. Like, oh, ew, sorry. Like, as white people, Let me finish.
I love where this sentence is going already.
No, as white people in general, unfortunately, everybody has this idea that anything that's not like from
the
Bible or their own, like, what's the word? Like their own Anglo religions.
Anglo-Saxon?
Yeah. Like even Viking religions are kind of like not like the Viking. God, Nordic. I'm so fucking smart. I'm so fucking tired, guys. But even that's kind of somewhat normalized compared to African religions.
Mm-hmm.
And just how we interacted with this before, like how we thought it was going to be this big scary thing, and it turns out to be like essentially a fucking video game cheat code.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it shows basically
just
like
how like how much bias that we still have in regards to these cultures and these.
Like, and we're still learning things. Like, we are still very much so learning about, like, and that's why I do this, is because I want to learn new things about other cultures. And this is, like, ironically, the most convenient way to do it. This is the easiest way for me to learn about other religions, is by, like, looking them up. Like, I'm going to talk about things that I've never heard of before. I'm going to be like, that's crazy.
This is wild. And then, like, people are going to be like, yeah, this is.
You didn't know this? No. Obviously not.
Obviously not, but I think it's a very nice way to have the bias, like the internal biases that we all tend to have challenged.
Just like washed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was very fun, and it was very, I wish we had done that sooner.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. I like
it. So once upon a time, there once was a little girl who had hair the color of gold.
Okay.
And she was named for this hair, so that everybody called her Goldilocks.
Okay.
So she's walking through the forest, and then one day she stumbles upon this.
What the fuck is she walking through the forest without an adult? Dumb bitch.
Oh my god. So she's walking through the forest, and she stumbles upon this house, and nobody's home.
Okay.
But she walks in.
The fuck?
And she's hungry as fuck.
She's breaking and entering.
Yeah. So she walks in, and burglary. She sees these three bowls sitting on the counter.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, perfect. Porridge. So she
poison
takes a bite out of the first one. Way too hot.
Why would you do that?
She's like, fuck, okay,
blow on it.
Too hot. Takes a bite out of the next one. Ice cold. So she's like, fuck,
what the fuck is one super hot and one ice cold? They've been sitting out and no one's home.
So
make it make sense.
Anyway, so,
and she's burglaring.
So she goes and she tries the third bowl, and it's just right. So she takes the bowl. That's just right. And she goes to the living room because she wants to sit and she wants to sit down while she eats. You know.
Okay.
She sits in the first chair.
Way
too soft.
This is squatting at this point.
She like sinks into it.
Oh, it's a nice chair.
But it's like way too soft.
The fuck.
Like, you know how you have things that are just too soft?
Ugh, there's no such thing as too soft.
So she's like, fine. And then so she goes and sits in the next chair, and it is way too hard.
Me too.
No. So she's like, fuck, okay, fine. And she goes and sits in the last chair, and it's just right.
Oh.
So she sits there.
Okay.
She eats her porridge.
No, it's not really hers, but go off.
That's not really hers. Mm-hmm. And then she goes and she's like, fuck, I'm tired. That was like a good bowl of porridge. I'm
what a spoiled bitch. Get your own fucking porridge in your own fucking chair in your own fucking house.
She's like, fuck, I'm tired. So she goes upstairs.
I'm tired of you.
So she goes upstairs.
Okay.
And there she finds three beds.
There's a two-story house?
Damn. So she goes upstairs. She finds three beds.
Uh-huh.
First bed. Way too hard. Like, you know,
three
those
people sharing one bedroom. It's got to be a low income house in the middle of the woods.
So it's like a very firm bed, and it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, me too.
No, thank you. Second bed.
You ever slept on a super hard bed?
Yes.
They're actually really comfortable.
They're very nice. But I was also told that I could sleep on a like pack of bricks and be fine. So
no, I've slept on anywhere. Like pieces of wood with really thin mattresses. Oh my god, it was so nice for my back.
Anyway, moving on. So, but she's a spoiled bitch.
She's
so
a cunt, yeah.
She can't handle that.
Oh, yeah. So
she goes and she sits on the next bed. Now she sinks, like, all the way down like she did with the first chair.
The waterbed.
And she's like, this ain't right.
And she sleeps on a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
This has been an ad for Tempur-Pedic.
This is not an ad for Tempur-Pedic.
This is not an ad.
I don't even think we like Tempur-Pedic.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Helix mattress.
Purple one.
This purple and Helix
mattress. Oh, wait. Purple mattress has the Goldilocks chick in it.
Does it? Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, it does. She drops an egg.
Oh, so she sits on the third mattress. A purple mattress. We're not sponsored.
But we could be.
So, what ends, and she falls asleep in this bed because it's just right.
Whatever.
While she sleeps.
Did she clean up her dishes?
No. Ugh. While she sleeps, three bears come back to the house.
Eat her ass. It's the Berenstain Bears.
No, because this is their home. The Papa Bear's like, hey, somebody's been eating my porridge.
This bitch. Ah, he likes perfect temperature porridge.
No. The Mama Bear's like, yeah, somebody took a bite on mine too. And the Baby Bear is like, somebody ate all of mine.
Not the baby. You're going to make a baby starve. Well, I mean, at this point, it took him so fucking long. The super hot one might be a good temperature. Unless it's sitting on a Bunsen burner.
So they were like, okay, that's weird. So let's
tie yourself.
Keep going. Somebody's been sitting in my chair. All of them just like announced because like chairs.
It's got the ass prints of a little bitch.
And then finally they go upstairs and Papa Bear's like, somebody's been sleeping in my bed because my covers are ruffled. And Mama Bear's like, yeah, somebody's been sleeping in
my bed. Someone let their socks in my fucking sheets.
Like, yeah.
And Baby Bear's like, some white bitch is in my bed.
Let me get there. So Mama Bear is like, yeah, somebody's been sleeping in my bed too. And Baby Bear is just staring at his parents like, there's actually somebody in my bed right now.
What the fuck is that thing? Kill it! And then they grab a hot iron rod.
That's the story of how Goldilocks became Brownlocks. They burned all of her hair off, and the singed ends turned brown.
So Goldilocks wakes up because she hears the voices.
Tripping on acid, wakes up hearing the voices.
I'm so manic. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god. Oh. Okay, so she wakes up to the sound of bears speaking English.
We don't know what language they were speaking, but they were talking.
It's probably German.
So, given the fact that it's a blonde hair, blue eyed little bitch,
probably. I love the Aryan race fucking over bears.
So, I'm sorry, I'm struggling today. So, she hears the voices, looks up, sees the fucking bears, fucking screams her head off, and runs away.
Good.
Fuck you, bitch. And that leads me to...
It's English!
Oh my god.
Yeah, it makes sense why she lived.
Yeah, that tracks.
If it was German, she would have died.
So... That brings me to what I'm talking about today.
White bitches.
No, I'm talking about a phenomenon known as Goldilocks robberies, where weird shit goes on.
Me. I'm weird shit. I go on.
So, I have a collection of cases for you. They are all very shallow dives. And today, we're just gonna take a shallow dive into everything. Case number one. Are you ready?
Up and down the boulevard. Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Our first case involves the 19-year-old Jesse Dobinson from Wickford, England. Essex police had been on his tail since February of 2019.
Essex?
Okay. Dobinson allegedly broke into the same home three times between February 28th to March 9th. The first two times, he broke in, ate some of the family's food, and then napped in the home before escaping.
Mood.
Now the third time though was different. No! My computer.
The third time's always different.
So the third time the family came home earlier than Dobinson had expected. So they walk in and he's like getting ready to chow down on some of their food. He freaks out, takes out a BB gun, and shoots the father of the family in the chest before running away.
You ever been shot by a BB gun?
It shit hurts.
Oh.
Have you?
No. I've shot people with BB guns, though.
It stings like a motherfucker.
They're like the little pellet guns, right?
Yeah, they sting really badly.
I guess.
You have.
I don't know. I was the one that was given the gun, so.
You were the one doing the shooting.
I shot my cousins with it. Actually, I shot the TV, and then it bounced off and hit him in the face.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway. It was one of those curved TVs.
Yeah.
Not the nice ones. The one that curve out because they're old and they give you radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm. So he shoots the father of the family in the chest with it because he's like fucking shook. And then he runs away.
Weird.
He then goes on the run for the next few months. However, on April 4th of 2011. No, not 2011. 2019. Why did I say 2011?
Me.
2019. He allegedly robbed a pizza delivery man by knife point, stealing the poor man's phone, clothes, and cash. I don't know if he stole the pizza before you ask.
Damn.
Like, I can see you, like, rubbing up. And I, like, I have it written in my notes that I don't
My
know.
Assumption is if it wasn't mentioned, it wasn't stolen.
It probably was, though, because he was
Or
hungry.
Maybe he was walking back from a delivery.
I don't know. Anyway.
Because if you rob someone on the way to delivering your food, you'll notice that it didn't show up. But if you get robbed on the way back to your car...
Technically, the delivery was made. They're not worried.
Oh my God, Claude, to see that nobody cares about delivery people.
I do.
Okay. Despite being on the run for nearly 3 months, he was caught in the same area he committed the crimes in on June 1st. Oh, actually, no, this all took place in 2011. I'm so stupid.
I love that for you.
I lied. February 2011. This first case all took place in 2011. I don't know why my note said 2019.
Me too.
Like, one of the cases, I think, does take place in 2019. So, my apologies. This all takes place in 2011.
I forgive you.
He was then arrested and charged with assault, criminal damage, robbery, and burglary. Unfortunately, I don't have an update to this case because these are all local. Not local, but they're smaller cases, so these aren't going to have, like, updates.
Yeah.
Case number two.
Mm-hmm.
Our second case brings us to Tullahoma, Tennessee.
Where?
Tullahoma, Tennessee. Tullahoma, Tennessee.
Spell it again.
Tullahoma. So we're in Tullahoma, Tennessee, boys.
Yeah, boy.
On September 17th, 2022, Francis A. May was arrested for breaking and entering. The home had belonged to a young family of three. Investigators believe that the woman had been in the home for about 20 minutes before the family realized. How they realized, though, is absolutely terrifying, by the way. So, apparently the dad comes home and notices that the bathroom light was on, but he ignores it and goes to, like, see his wife and son.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently May walks into the room and goes to pick up the baby like she was going to play with him. Like, that was, like, legitimately terrifying. Like, imagine, like, you come...
A random person is in your house and tries to approach your baby. Bruh, you wouldn't have the fucking time to notice me there. You'd be dead immediately.
Yeah. So the mom immediately takes the baby, and with the husband, they lock the woman in the room.
Like, nah, beat the shit out of her.
No, here's the thing, because the weapons are downstairs.
So, like, beat the shit out of her. You got chairs?
So in order to prevent her from leaving, they lock her in the room. Like, they're gone, but they lock her in the room. So the mom goes to retrieve the firearm while the husband goes and calls the police. When the police asks Frances where she lived, she said, quote, I'm trying to figure that out. According to police...
So are we, bitch.
According to police, May said that she remembers walking into the residence, taking off her clothes, putting them in the dryer, brushing her teeth with the toothbrush she found in the bathroom, before putting on clothes and jewelry that she found in the home that belonged to the mother of the family. So I was unable to find an update to this case.
Sounds like a mental health crisis.
Yeah, this sounds definitely like a mental health crisis because she does not remember where she lived.
Yeah.
So she was trying to figure out what that was. Now, our third case brings us to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa.
On Tuesday, November 19th, 2019, Charles Shunkamola? Mm-hmm. Was arrested after a woman called the police at 3 a.m. when she heard someone breaking into her home through her sliding door.
Okay.
So Charles was found in his underwear in one of her children's beds. To be clear, I don't think the child was there, but I don't know. I could not find the information.
Oh.
Given the fact that this was not, like, child endangerment or anything like that was part of his charges, I don't think the child was there.
Okay, that's good at least.
Yeah. So he was asleep in the, and he was, like, asleep in the bed. And so the police officer woke him up and arrested him. Allegedly, he thought that this was his home, and the reason for his lack of pants was that he was so drunk that he peed himself, so he stripped them off. He was then charged with...
That is hilarious. That's terrifying for her.
Yeah, it was absolutely... That would be
but at
scary.
Least he wasn't dangerous. He was just really drunk.
Yeah. He was then charged with breaking and entering, as well as public intoxication. Again, no updates. These are, like, really hard...
Technically, I think at that point, he's privately intoxicated.
I don't like all of these cases that I'm covering are all very local cases, so their updates are not going to be there.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Case number four.
Mm-hmm.
Our fourth case takes us to Webster Lake, Indiana.
Ooh.
So Alex,
I never hear shit out of Indiana.
Yeah. Alex,
how you guys doing?
Kupczyk. This is a very weird name.
Kupczyk.
No, Kupczynski.
Kupczynski.
Was arrested on January.
Mike
gosh. Anyway, Alex was arrested on January 20th with four counts of burglary. I'm tired.
Burglary.
With a bail set at $100,000. His crime? Wandering around Webster Lake looking for vacation homes that looked like they hadn't been occupied in a while. He would break into them, stay there for a while, sleeping there, eating the food, drinking the beer. Before moving on. And how was he caught, you may ask?
He broke into a home where people were still in there?
No, ask the question.
How?
He left his wallet and a set of overalls that belonged to an owner of one of the houses. And the owner found the wallet.
That's awesome. Oh my god.
The police then locates a set of fresh footprints in the snow and tracked him to another vacation home. Where police found him hiding in a closet and arrested him. Did you know that this dude shares a name with one of the Real Housewives?
Like, really?
Yeah. You know how difficult that made it for me to do my fucking research?
You should have just said the Real Housewife did that and I would have still believed you.
I know. Do you understand how weird that Google was for me?
I don't watch Real Housewives, but I might just to see the namesake of this guy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Oh my god. Left his fucking wallet in the overalls. That's great.
Oh my god, yeah.
Some people, man.
Some people are wild.
That's great.
So finally, we finish in Fall River, where the fate of Goldilocks herself rests in the hands of 3rd through 8th graders.
What?
In an effort to try to help kids understand the justice system and how trials work.
They had children break into houses.
No.
Aw. Damn it, I got really excited.
I know you did. But in order to help them understand how the justice system and how trials work, local attorneys and judges took on the roles of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, as well as the judge and prosecution.
Into the kids' houses.
No.
Dang it.
As well as the judge, prosecution, and defense teams.
They arrested the children.
No.
Damn it.
They then split the kids up into groups, each of which would see the mock trial or even act as the jury in the case.
They convicted a man for murder.
Stop it. This is actually really cute, okay?
I'm sorry. They teamed Goldilocks, a threat to society, and gave her the death penalty.
Jesus Christ. Let me finish this, okay? This is really cute.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just really funny.
Anyway, they were then walked through the opening and closing statements, presentation of evidence, and interviews. Mm-hmm. The judge then told them, quote, their job is to decide which witnesses to believe and what evidence is credible.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, quote, she said, they would realize the powerful role that juries of regular Massachusetts.
You want to move there and you can't pronounce the damn state.
Shut up. Residents play in real court cases. That's exactly what jurors do in this commonwealth every single day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in small matters and sometimes in very serious matters, she said. Quote, we all come together under the same system and we're celebrating that today. End quote. Two juries ended up finding Goldilocks guilty, while one of them found her not guilty. And that's my cases.
What was her sentencing? I don't know.
I think they gave her the death penalty.
I don't think they gave her the death penalty.
Who did they interview?
The Bears.
Oh, no.
Freddie Fazbear, no.
No. The Bear family.
The Berenstain Bears.
No.
Mama and Papa Bear.
Mama and Papa Bear and Baby Bear.
Baby Bear's too young. Baby Bear shouldn't be in a criminal system right now.
Baby Bear was just giving his testimony.
Goldilocks is going to be tried as an adult?
I don't know.
You ever seen the movie Hoodwinked?
Yeah.
Wait, that's the wrong story. That's Red Riding Hood.
That explains why you're losing your absolute
Red
shit right
Riding
now.
Hood is also a criminal.
Anyway.
Hoodwinked is a great movie, by the way.
This episode was a lot shorter.
Oh my god.
It's so short. It's so short.
Oh my god.
Guys, I'm so... Oh my god.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of this little kid just being up. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty.
I'm just like in a little kid voice. We, the defendant.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of capital murder.
That's my parrot voice. And everybody's like looking at the kid like, dude, it's not, murder wasn't even one of the charges.
You're being sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
I want an Alfred plea.
If you didn't want me to break in, you shouldn't have left your door unlocked.
Anyway, so the first four were kind of like really wild, but the last one, because I kept finding like the same few cases over and over, but I also, for the last one, I kept finding this like thing that some states did where, in order to help like kids understand like the justice system and everything, they would put like different fairy tale characters on trial.
That's so fucked up.
It's so funny. No, I found this blog. God, I don't remember what it was.
That's
I'll have to see if I can
up.
Find
can
it again.
Can you imagine having like a favorite fairy tale and it's like, oh, Cinderella's committed multiple war crimes?
No, I found this blog while I was doing my research. I don't remember what the name of it is. I think I might be able to find it. I might be able to link it at
in
the end of my notes.
Yeah,
in the resources. But this dude, like, he... All they do, I don't know the gender, all they do is they go through different fairy tales and, like, assign charges. Because I think this was, like, a project for them in law school or something. And I'm just like,
I'm still laughing at Goldilocks waking up because of the voices!
Oh my god, this episode is so unhinged, guys. I am so sorry.
My section was fine.
Mine was not.
Yours was ridiculous. I love it. Oh my god.
No, here's the thing. I want to make it very clear. I'm not drunk. I'm not under the influence of anything. I am just manic.
We're just really fucking tired because we got up at 7:30 and it's currently past midnight. And I'm the funniest person on the face of the planet. I hope you enjoy it now, guys, because next episode is gonna be
extremely rough. I hope to have
do you have a spoiler, non-spoiler,
catch him, kill him,
Hayloft by mother
it started with the hay loft cricket. It started in the hay
you done?
Loft.
Oh my god.
I'm so tired, guys. I'm so funny when I'm tired. No, I hope. Are you?
I love you.
Rude. I love you too. No, what I hope to do is at least. I'm trying to be serious. Come on. At least once per month, I hope to have an episode, or at least a segment, that's just like this, where it's chaotic just to take the light, just to take, like, just to make it lighter than it usually is. Because I know the past couple episodes are, like, were pretty lighthearted, too. But that was just to make up for the shit show that was March.
The voices!
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I hope that you enjoyed
next episode. It's going to be terrible. Oh, my God, that's my spoiler for next episode. So, the voices!
That's for both of us. Oh my God.
Next episode, we're actually doing a joint episode where we're talking about the same fucking thing.
Yeah, we're doing a very rare joint episode. Like that.
And I'm doing something I don't want to. I'm talking about ghosts.
But it's so much fun. Because guess what?
Here's the thing. I like ghost stories. I like hearing ghost stories. I don't like talking about ghost stories because I find them very repetitive. But I bought a book, so I gotta read it now. Also, yeah. Most of our research comes from books, by the way. This episode, I didn't really reference the Book of the Dead that I bought too much. But most of our episodes come from a heavy referencing of books. I currently have 7 books that I'm using to reference for these next few episodes that we're doing.
I'm gonna be 1,000% honest. These past few episodes have not been...
Mine have.
Book heavy.
Mine have.
Mine,
well, not these ones, but the, God, the Romanovs were so
bloody. God, don't get me started on the Narco Satanicos.
I could kill someone with how many books I have on the Romanovs right now. And I have 2 more that I still want to order. And I'm done with the Romanovs for this year. I might double back and touch up some stuff from next year, but...
Don't. I love you. Don't. Anyway.
It'll be a Patreon exclusive.
And Patreon exclusive. Yeah, that being said, I do have a few books that I plan on using for later episodes. I'm just trying to give myself enough time to read them and, like, take notes on them. Because what I like to do with my research is not what Mythos likes to do with their research. Mythos likes to take notes as they read. I like to read and then go double back and take notes.
I didn't do that with the Romanovs. I read them all the way through and then took notes.
Oh, I thought you...
I did it with the Romanovs. Then I realized that it wasted time.
Oh, yeah. Because my brain can't determine what's important and what's not.
I write everything down, and then afterwards I take out information I don't think is important.
Oh, okay. I might do that. Never mind.
Like, once I write everything down just in case it could be important, and then as I'm writing, I deem what is and isn't important. Usually it's all important. But I also write everything down just in case there's different theories on how something happened. I can mention it if I think it's relevant and important to the story.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to our shortest episode ever.
Yeah. It'll be, appreciate it, because next episode's gonna be fucking long.
Yeah, next episode's gonna be really long.
It's gonna be ridiculous.
But
we're tired and we're manic, and I hope you enjoyed us laughing for once.
For crazy once. Concept.
We didn't cry once during... I mean, I cried laughing so fucking hard, but...
The voices. God, that's gonna be a running joke.
Oh,
I'm just gonna be
gosh.
Like... The voices!
That fucking meme on TikTok, man, it gets me every time.
God, okay.
Anyway, we definitely just didn't spend the last 10 minutes laughing at memes on our phone. I hope everyone had an amazing time with this really short episode that was super sweet and wholesome and enlightening, and definitely not a small little respite for the actually terrible things that we are going to be talking about next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I hope everyone has an amazing day, and I hope that you have a cold pillow and clear skin and plenty of water, or a monster if you're Psychos.
Thanks for being
sponsor us, monster.
Literally. Thanks for being here with us, guys. Thank you to Anubis, I guess, for letting me share his story and Osiris and Thoth.
Thank you to all the crazy people out there who
do dumb shit so you can talk about on the podcast. You're so welcome.
Oh my God. Anyway, stay safe, guys. Have a good night. Keep learning.
The voices.
That.
Night.
Good night.